This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to Up the Ante and Open for Business with me, Angeline Tay. And today we have Mohammad Azimullah. He is the founder of Mohammad Chow. It's a mix of Chinese and Malay cuisine restaurant where they serve kung po chicken to sambal petai fish. He's here to share his business challenges with us. And to address those challenges is Raj Kumar from UCSI Blue Ocean Strategy. So let's have a quick recap for Mohammad Chow. Yes. This restaurant, you know, how did this idea come about?
The idea of Mohammad Chow basically came about, I like Chinese food, but couldn't find any Chinese food. So we started Mohammad Chow.
And also your partner is Hadi.
Yes, my partner is Hadi Chow. So he's
the Chow of the Mohammad.
He's the Chow of the Mohammad. I'm the Mohammad of Mohammad Chow, and he's the Chow of it. Yeah, his father is Chinese.
In terms of when you R&D for the menu, I mean, how long did the process take for you to be sure that this tastes as authentic Chinese food?
It didn't take too long. I had some experience in Chinese Muslim cuisine as well. The process didn't take too long. I think from the starting creating the menu to deciding on what to put on the menu took us about 2 months.
And you just turned 2?
Yes, we just turned 2 on the 12th.
And so, you know, what has been going on since the last time you came on BFM?
We took into consideration there was a couple of issues being raised. So food presentation, we have improved the food presentation. We have trained our staff a little bit better. And I think Raj is here today also to assist me in that part. More towards training of staff.
Training.
That's what we have.
Would you think that's the biggest challenge though in this industry?
Yeah, in F&B industry, the biggest challenge, I think it would be staff. Right, mm-hmm. I've been always saying this to my friends. I'm an F&B person, right? So if there's one thing that would make me quit F&B, it's because of the staff.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's that big, the issue. We are always looking at ways, you know, to overcome this issue and to handle it.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so before we pass the studio to Raj here, so what would you like to share, you know, your challenges with us?
Yeah, there's two areas I would like Raj to assist me in. Number one is staff management, and number two is expansion of our brand. Specifically in staff management is sort of how do we find the right staff and what is the best form of motivation, mm-hmm. and how to keep the staff standard up, especially when the boss is not around. And expansions, what is the funding options available for us? What are the pros and cons of funding? And investors, if we take on investors, is it a yes or no compared to funding? And what to look out for in terms of when we go courting for investors, right? What do we look out for?
Right.
So Raj from UCSI Blue Ocean Strategy.
All right. It's good to be on the show. And congrats again, Azim, on celebrating a 2 years anniversary. So
thank you very much.
I would summarize the two challenges in terms of finding people and finding money. Let's talk about the easy one, finding money.
Finding money.
It's always hard to find good people, right?
Yeah,
so finding money in the sense of expanding. And I think you're in a very important position of your business where it's 2 years and you have a very good value proposition.
Correct.
I think for me, the Muslim Chinese cuisine is a blue ocean on its own. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's eventually becoming a red ocean. Yep. A lot of players are coming into the market, right?
Agreed.
And so you need to expand fast. So obviously, expansion plan, looking for funding. I think the obvious answers would be for you to go with banks,
mm-hmm.
but not just conventional banks. Go for banks that has accelerated programs, mm-hmm. like SME Bank.
Mm-hmm.
SME Bank is a very good bank in the sense where they want you to succeed and they will give you some programs that helps you and trains you to expand your business further. Mm-hmm. The other one would be to look at peer-to-peer lending.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you've heard of the Malaysian Chinese Muslim Association, MACMA.
Yes.
So they also have a lot of lending as well. So there are some pros and cons to that.
Yeah.
Obviously, the cons is there's an annual fees that is charged.
Yeah.
But
we're quite familiar, actually.
Yeah, all right. So, and I think that is some of the things that you want to look at in terms of deciding between going for an investor or a bank.
Mm.
Now, my recommendation would be if you are strong enough and you think that you can take the business to the next level, you have very strong operations and so on, I would recommend for you to go for a bank.
All right.
Because I think you will be more confident to lead the business and I think that you have an advantage.
Okay.
You have more control over the business. And if you structure it correctly and work with a bank that has an accelerated program or a matching grant, like SME Corp and so on, then it will be an advantage to you.
All right.
But if you're looking for an investor, then it becomes a little bit more tricky because at the end of the day, I think you should not just get an investor that is a sleeping partner or a sleeping investor. I think you should get a very active investor,
okay.
An investor that can take you to the next level.
Yeah.
So I would recommend an investor that can take you to become international, or at least in Southeast Asia.
Okay.
So there are many investors out there, for example, from China.
Mm-hmm.
You can meet these people through trade shows, franchise shows, and so on and so forth, and you'll be able to talk to them,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be able to invest in your business and take you to the next level.
All right.
You want people, investors that are familiar with the F&B business.
Okay.
You want investors that are also share the same value and same passion for your business. I think that's very, very important.
Yes, agreed.
And they have diverse skill set as well that can take your business to newer markets.
All right.
I think don't just expand in Malaysia, but I think there's a huge opportunity for this kind of Chinese Muslim cuisine concept to expand in a number of Southeast Asian countries.
Yes.
I mean, look at Papa Rich has done so well in Australia. It's also due to the fact that there was a lot of investors and you know, obviously they use a franchise concept.
Yes, correct.
So my recommendation would be to start searching for people, investors that can take you international.
What do you think are the good business model for expansion? So it's franchise, what is the pros and cons? Or is it the best, in your opinion? Do we do it on our own or do we do franchise? Or what are the pros and cons?
Okay, so I think franchise is always obviously a natural tendency for this type of business to expand because you have a brand name and, you know, obviously people think that franchise is something that you can expand very fast.
Correct.
But there are pros and cons to this because you have to have a very strong operations in order for you to franchise, and then you have to have a very strong track record as well.
Okay.
And nowadays, the franchise market is very, very competitive as well.
Yeah.
You have a lot of brands out there, a lot of businesses out there. Unless you can convince, as I said, you have an international investor, but at the same time, you can have this franchise concept. At the same time, you can expand it further.
Yep.
So you can have like a conglomerate, for example, the Berjaya's of another country that might take this as a franchise, as a master franchisee, and they can expand it very, very fast.
Yes.
So that is one way. So it's sort of like a hybrid, an investor and a franchise model.
Yeah.
Or it can be a JV,
mm-hmm.
a joint venture with another group, and you start another brand, or maybe you use the same brand, use the same concept, but you joint venture with another type of chain.
All right.
And then you expand it further from there.
Okay.
I think franchise is obviously a good way, but you always need to pilot it out. I would recommend it to
All right.
Okay. A lot of times the fear is the quality of the food, right? Once you've sort of expand too quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Because
franchise would be one of them.
Exactly. You see, the holy grail of F&B, as I was telling Azim, is originality, consistency, and price. And everything that we discuss will be revolving around these three.
All right.
Always, you know, in F&B. When you talk about staff, it's always about consistency, right?
Correct.
When you talk about cost, the cost of products and all, it affects the price.
Yes.
When you talk about the type of menu, conceiving the menu, coming up with something different, competition out there, then it's originality. So people are always looking for something that's original, and they say, oh, I've tasted it, I want to eat this, and it's amazing. There's a strong value proposition. There's a strong USP and so on.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that we need to discuss or need to think about further.
Yeah.
And I think we were talking about this during before the show was about reinventing your business,
correct.
Right? You need to relook at the business and look at ways where you can expand and look for underserved customers or what we call non-customers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are the people who are not coming right now?
Yes.
And how can you keep them coming? And also think of ways to diversify the business, expand the business, maybe correct. Events, maybe
catering,
catering, drive-through or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's about reinventing the business
correct.
And recreating that blue ocean.
Yeah.
But obviously now your strategy is to scale up fast.
Yes, agreed.
Because I believe you have a good product, but now you want to scale up fast.
Yeah.
So that's why you're looking for this kind of expansion, rapid expansion plan. Which I think is not a bad idea because this one way to wipe out the competition because you start to build a brand a lot more.
Correct. Agreed.
So I think that's very important because a number of investments is also good for you to advertise.
Yeah.
Again, my favorite example is always my taxi, how they expanded very fast
with
investors from China and they expand in Southeast Asia rapidly.
Yeah.
So I would say it's a very good strategy to pursue.
Little background, we have already started advertising. Our first advertisement is actually in Time Out KL. We used to rely a lot on walk-ins and word of mouth. But now I think we have to start advertising. So we started with Time Out KL and we're going on social media as well. On Facebook, obviously.
Right. You should serve this on some airlines.
That's a good idea. I've never thought about it.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's a good halal Chinese food. who knows, there are a number of airlines right now that are predominantly going towards halal, and this would be something that you can offer.
Just let me recap.
Yeah.
So for JV, mostly just look at the partner that I'm joint venture with and what are their skills and what they can bring to the table.
Yep. I think you need to look for people that can close the gap with whatever you're having right now,
terms
of they are good in developing training manuals. So the JV option is always for you to beef up your current business.
Next up, Muhammad Azimullah from Muhammad Chow and Raj Kumar from UCSI Blue Ocean Strategy will discuss about finding people. This is Up the Ante on Open for Business, BFM 89.9. You're still tuned into Up the Ante and Open for Business with me, Angeline Tay. Today we have Muhammad Azimullah, the founder of Muhammad Chow Restaurant, and Raj Kumar from UCSI Blue Ocean Strategy. Earlier they were talking about finding money, and now they are discussing about finding people.
Finding people, always a tough part.
Is it going to be a constant thing, or do you think one day it's going to be solved? Though?
No, I think it will never be solved. I think it's an ongoing thing because, again, going back to originality and consistency, I think something that many businesses tend to overlook and not really focus on is the culture. So culture is also something that's very important.
Okay.
The culture that you create, the values. Sometimes we might think that, oh, this is just a normal restaurant, but you need that kind of culture. Culture determines performance. So you can have a high-performance culture by instilling certain values. Secondly, finding the right people, you need to look for different channels. The best channels are always the schools that are training people on this F&B. I think these are very good. You should partner with the schools and tell them, you know, this is something we want to find these kind of skill sets, help us work with us. And they'll be more than happy to work with you and create some kind of training programs to work with you along. And obviously, I think once you find the right people, creating that kind of ownership is the key thing. Yeah. So career growth is those restaurants that are chains that are successful are the ones that create a good career path for their people.
Yeah.
And lastly, a compensation plan. Compensation plan is very, very important.
Okay.
You need to, again, going back to the ownership, you need to create something where maybe there's a monthly revenue bonus or maybe there's something that everybody works towards. You know, then that starts to cultivate ownership. So I feel like I'm not just working here, but I feel like I'm really part of the Muhammad Chow family.
Yeah, correct.
And we operate on these values.
Yeah.
This is how we are rewarded. And this is how I'm going to grow in this business. And one day, I might be an owner of a branch or I might be an owner of a franchise.
Yeah.
And maybe one day, my boss is going to send me to China when he opens a branch there. So that retains good people and that gives them the motivation to give their best.
Yeah, I agree, actually. For Muhammad Chow, what we have done, our culture is more of a family culture. Whenever we have a meeting, I always start the meeting off, we are here as brothers and sisters, right? So we look out for each other. That has always been a culture. It's very family kind of culture. Even our staff, we have husband and wife, brother and sister, you know, working in there.
That's good.
Values, I have not really instilled values. Could you give me examples of what an exact value that I can put
You can start to decide on what are the values that will drive this business and is also aligned with what you branding yourself to your customers.
Okay.
For example, if you want to have one value where accountability and how are they going to contribute to this and how are they measured on this and how do they operate on this.
Correct.
So that's very, very important. So even when the boss is not around, they know that I'm entrusted and my boss is not looking, but my own faith reminds me that I should give my best, not just for my boss, not because I'm being paid, but because I'm also accountable. So then when your customers come, hey, you know what? Instead of going to another Chinese Muslim restaurant, I want to go to Muhammad Chow. Why? Because this staff's, the service is amazing.
All right.
And they really, you know, if there's anything wrong, they will come and they will tell you. And they operate on different set of values. And this is something that will set you apart as well. You know, never underestimate the power of good customer service.
Yeah,
you
correct.
Know, something that I'm sure you're an F&B guy, you know. And that creates the originality as well. This is just one. So maybe there could be four or five. And then you keep reminding them, keep drilling them on these values.
Yeah.
And keep measuring them on these values.
Yes.
Then it will become a DNA of Muhammad Chow.
So is there, like, in terms of value, is there minimum number of value you recommend? Or I'm pretty sure, of course, we want as much values as we want.
Yeah.
Right? But we can't put too much there.
Yeah,
well.
That's a very good question, actually. I know a lot of companies, they like to put like 10 values they put it up on the walls, you know, everywhere. And nobody can remember anything.
Correct, exactly.
So I rather you really call your team together and ask them, what are the values that are naturally present here?
Okay.
And start to list it down and then start to zoom into maybe 3 values to start with.
Okay.
You know, it's better to have 3 to 5 than to have like 10 values and nobody, you know, it's just very nice on the wall. It's just writings on the wall.
Of course.
But these 3 values will be the heart and soul of, you know, your business. So the values, there are 2 ways to do it. One is as founders, you know, is you what you want to instill upon your people. The other one is you start to observe, since you already got about 6 outlets right now, right? You start to observe what are the natural values that your staff have.
Yeah, okay. Mama Acha has one outlet. I have another 5, which is a different brand.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. So Mama Acha is one. So look, start to look at what are the generally the values that people, you know, have.
Yeah, indirectly, I have always told my staff that this is a happy place.
Okay, good.
So is that what you mean?
Happy is an outcome.
Yeah.
So values usually, it's more like an input.
All right.
Okay, what do you do to make the place happy?
Okay.
So let's say positive words.
Yeah.
So let's say that's something that you do. So value of that will be more for creating encouraging words or, you know, encourage one another as a input, you know, in order to have that output of being happy, right?
Yeah.
So what are things that you put in to become happy? So you need to look at these kind of values, you know, responsible, helpful. It doesn't have to be very complicated values.
Yeah.
I know some people like to use a lot of bombastic words in terms of values, but I think the most important thing is simple values that makes you happy, you know, caring for one another. So that creates a very happy environment.
All right.
And this can be included in your manual and your business plan and all that, because, you know, sometimes even investors look for this.
All right, okay.
Because this will help the business to be sustainable.
Yeah.
Some investors actually have asked, what are your values? They might just come and sit down at the restaurant and they will see whether these values are being translated to the customer.
The point is now about compensation. So what we do at Mama Chow is that we do have your basic salary.
Yeah.
We do have OT, overtime as usual. And we do also have KPI bonuses. KPI bonuses, we have 4 tiers. 2 is cost-based and 2 is sales-based.
Right.
So if you hit a certain percentage of cost, you get the bonus. And second tier, you get another bonus.
Okay.
So it adds on. And also in sales, we also have the same. You hit this amount of sales, you get a bonus. Mm-hmm. And how we distribute is actually through point system. Everyone gets, from the main chef to the dishwasher to the captain to the food runner, everyone gets a cut of the bonus. So what's your take on that?
I mean, it sounds good. If there's a challenge implementing this, there's only one reason for it, which is communication.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they're all properly oriented, they know exactly, it's very clear, it's very fair. We call this a fair process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So fair process always has 3 E's. That means you really engage, there's engagement, explain to them clearly. And lastly, you explain the expectation. So, and this is what you will get, this is what you will get. And then we make sure that that happens. So that means like they say, hey, look, I've done this. So have I got this reward?
Yeah.
Yes. So at a high level, it sounds very good. Obviously, you can always get some feedback from your staff and ask, you know, how is it going? And, you know, my recommendation for compensation is always, there's never a perfect compensation plan. Right. There's never, you know, we have organizations all the time, but there's never. But there are good compensation plans. Don't be afraid to tweak it as you go along the way, you know, every year or every 6 months, you're always readjusting until you get the right formula and then you stick with it for at least for another 1-2 years.
Yeah.
I would recommend to talk to your manager and ask them, is this something that is working? Because sometimes you can have a very good plan for the frontliners, but for the managers, it might not be very, very attractive.
Yeah.
And they, in turn, can affect the morale of the frontliners.
Yeah.
So you got to be very careful and see that your compensation plan is aligned with the middle managers and the frontliners.
All right. So we talked about just now values and compensation plan. Which is the higher factor? Or is there any other factors that keep motivation, staff motivation up? My concern is this. When I'm around, everybody is, you know, everybody's
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do this. Everything. When I'm not for a couple of days, not at the restaurant, because now I try to go at least once a week. Yeah. So there will be a lapse. When I'm not there, then it starts to go down and down, right?
So the question is why? Why do you think this is the problem? What is your assessment of this?
I think my personal opinion is that I think I don't have, my leader is not strong enough at the moment. Yeah. So he cannot at the moment lead.
I suspected that, you know, because usually if this happens, then maybe your second liner needs to be trained.
Correct.
Now, train not just in terms of functional. They can be very good functional people. They're very competent. They know exactly where everything is.
Yeah.
But you have to train them exactly like what you said, leadership.
Correct.
So they need to be trained on leading people, inspiring people, and looking at the values and inspiring them. That requires a lot of coaching and mentoring, unfortunately, from you to them.
Yes.
Because if you want to expand, you have to spend some time with them. Not just talking about functional duties, but more on leadership, what makes a leader, and so on. So, and many a times they will want to do it, but they don't know how.
Yeah.
And they need a lot of training.
Okay.
So like I said, going back to, I'm trying to tie all the points back together. You can talk to some schools and say that, can you organize some leadership programs for my frontliners, right? Maybe 10 of your managers or you know, to do that. Second, you also, among your frontliners, okay, there's always what we call the kingpin.
Yeah.
There's always what we call the ringleader.
Yeah.
So you need to know who is this ringleader, and this ringleader has to work with you.
Yeah.
Because you see, sometimes maybe the ringleader might not be working well with the manager.
Correct.
And this ringleader, if you're not around, then he'll be controlling the show, right?
Yeah, correct.
So you need to zoom into about, these people. Yeah. So, okay, how can you let this ringleader and this manager work together and coach them together? Or maybe even promote that ringleader. Or maybe even do something that, let's say he's the assistant, this is the manager, and then work along the lines to change the atmosphere.
Okay.
So that's some strategies, you know. There's always that one person.
Okay. All right, I agree, actually. I know the ringleader, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because that person is the one, boss is not here, and and then the manager is always having a tough time dealing with this one person.
Okay.
Because there's always this one person who thinks that they should be the manager.
Yeah.
But then you ask yourself, is there a need? Maybe this person, let me give you a challenge. I put you in another outlet.
Yeah.
Now you take over.
Correct.
That's why I said, finding money is always easier than finding the right people and retaining the right people.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so thank you so much for your time, Raj, for helping
out. My pleasure. I hope it's been helpful and useful.
Yeah, it has been. Thank you very much for
your advice. Thank you.
So we've been speaking to Muhammad Azimullah, the founder of Muhammad Chow, a Chinese Muslim restaurant, and also Raj Kumar, who's our consultant for today from UCSI Blue Ocean Strategy. And you've been listening to Up the NT and Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.